I am really going to have to mind my P's and Q's today. I don't think I've ever said this to you right now, but I could preach till 2 o'clock this afternoon on this text and not begin to do it justice. There is so much in this simple text that needs to become profound to you, to me. We are at the crisis of history when this text comes to us. Notice the words, the first two words of chapter 4, after this. That is the conclusion of the age of the church. After this, our Lord, for 2,000 years, has hidden himself in the heavens. And he's pled with men and women and boys and girls through the preaching of the gospel and through the light of creation and all that is here. He's pled with them to come and receive his grace. But now, the door is shut. And he is about to pour his fury upon the nations of this world. And in the process of that, this world will shake their fist in his face. We'll not have this man to reign over us. They'll call on the mountains and the rocks to cover them and hide them from the wrath of Almighty God, whom they can no longer deny. Reality is coming. My mom used to say it this way, wait till your father gets home. He's coming home after this. The sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. We learn that from Solomon. The title of our message, The One You Should Consider. There's somebody you need to consider. It's God. Speech just avoids me. I want to say things like, for crying out loud, wake up! How can you go on in such a pathetic mediocrity? God is. I'm not scolding. I'm talking to myself. Notice these words. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. Boy, there's a door you'd like to look through, isn't there? Wow. You talk about opportunity here. A door is opened. This is a door that's been shut for 2,000 years. The Lord has not revealed himself physically to this world. He's about to reveal himself. And the door is opened. and the invitation is given. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come in." You don't understand the privilege that is John's to step into the throne room of the Most High God. This is not fairy tale. This is not myth. This is reality, folks. Up somewhere beyond the cloak of heaven lies the residence of the eternal God who has made all things. And the scripture says, "Surely thou art a God that hidest thyself." Why? Because he asks your faith and your allegiance simply on the basis of his word. Jesus said to Thomas, "Because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. But more blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe." I ask you, are you willing to believe? Are you willing to accept the reality that there is a God? That he is the Most High? John was welcomed to heaven. "Come up hither." And he says, "I will show thee things." Folks, these are things you need to know. What a privilege was John's to see these things. But you know, of all the things that John sees, and he sees some incredible things, some frightening things, some terrifying things as he relates to us the book of the Revelation. But simply, on the principle of first importance, it becomes imperative that we see that of all the things that John saw, the thing that captured him most was his God. And so he begins with that. He says, "Immediately I was in the Spirit. Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." If we weren't so physical, we would see these things better. John said, "I was in the Spirit." I think the sense of that Spirit is, I was privileged by God to lay off the cocoon of this flesh and see reality. And the first thing he says is, there's a throne. Best you understand that. There's a throne. I've had one traffic ticket in my life. It was in the city of Clive. Do you know where that is, John? It's a little place called Nowhere, right between Des Moines and West Des Moines. It's only a bump in the road. On that bump, I ran a stop sign. First time, I hope the last time I ever been to court. I went to court, and I sat down there where I was supposed to sit down, and there were a bunch of people there that day, and the judge was the mayor of Clive. Salute. I learned something about thrones that day, about judicial benches. They're powerful. They are absolutely powerful. And I watched people argue before that bench. It was the best one of the best educations I've had in life. I wish I could tell you the stories. Some of them were just hilarious. I'll never forget Officer Diamond. Huh. But anyway, as I sat there, I got more and more sober because I realized when I sit down there, that guy's going to make a decision about me and it's going to be final. And I started to feel like Belteshazzar. My knees smote one against the other. You say, David, all you did was run a stop sign. Well, that's the only thing I've ever been picked up for. You know, I'm kind of naive. I'm kind of a simple guy. But I got up there, and the charges were made. And I said, yeah, that's just what I did. The gavel came down, $14. I paid $14, and I walked out and said, I never want to go back again. We've got a day ahead of us that's far more determinative than that. Folks, there's a throne in heaven that sits in authority over this whole universe, and we will all give account to that throne for every word spoke, for every thought that's entered our mind, for every action we have done. We will give an account. There is a throne. I tell you, our world for years and years and years has denied the reality of that throne. And they live on out there in absolute oblivion to that reality, thinking their life is their own, they can do whatever they want. Ain't true. There's a throne. And then, John says this, and one who sat on the throne. This is the one with whom we have to do. In the book of Hebrews, it says, all things are open and naked before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Oh, if there's something that I could pound through the minds of our teenagers today, it would be that. You aren't free to do whatever you want to do. You're free to do whatever God wants you to do. I know this world says you can do and you can be anything you want. You're absolutely right, you can, but you're going to give an account for it. Am I your friend because your enemy because I tell you the truth? Am I your enemy because I prepare you for the most important day of your life? That will be consequent for all of eternity? I've got to quit. I'm just going to share with you something that just troubled me so much this week in the newspaper. Eldon, I mentioned it to you. You had read the article too. It was hidden back in the back pages of the Interlink. There's a school out on the east side. I forget where it was, like Glendive or something, you know, out there on the east side. One of those places that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. After all, we're Westerners, they're Easterners, you know. For years and years and years, that school has been taking their elementary kids to a creation museum that's in town. Did you read this story too, Lisa? Some folks from further back east got riled up about that and said, what about the separation of church and state? And sued that school district to prevent them from taking their kids to that museum. And the school district conceded. Here's the lie. That there's a religious world and there's a secular world. And the secular world is neutral. The religious world is biased about God. Listen, the secular world has its own bias, and by and large, its bias is no God! And don't you dare tell our kids there is one! I just ask you this, what about the culpability of the leaders of that school district who conceded to that? They will give an account for that. Listen, we are at war. We are the representatives of the throne room, of the throne, of the one who sits on the throne. And folks, that is not an irrational bias. It's reality. Deal with it. You're going to deal with it. The whole world's going to deal with it. Today, you can deal with it in grace. Today, you can say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, the blessed experience of that one thief on the cross as he said to his Savior, you are not worthy for what you're getting here today, but I am. Will you remember me when you enter into your kingdom? And Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. It's time to deal with the throne, with the King, before he comes again. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, it is so pungent with truth, it is so great, so large, that we can't get our arms, our hands around it. We can't get our mind around it. It needs to be a reality that shapes and fashions our lives, that controls us, that dominates us. It's not an irrational bias, it is a reality. Capture us for our good and for your glory, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.